Let us now share the word of God from the New Testament, the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 12 to 16. The letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. And so to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Among the churches pioneered by the Apostle Paul was the Church of Corinth. Paul's letters to the Corinthians shows that the Christians in the Corinthian church were very zealous for the Lord Jesus, and that it was a church where the work of the Holy Spirit was abundantly evident. And it was written in that letter that they had received many great gifts from the Holy Spirit, this one and that one. And that's very enviable. They received many spiritual gifts. However, those who had so fortunately received such wonderful gifts were still childish. They were divided among themselves, saying, who is better? Whose gift is more wonderful? Whose gift is better? Who knows more? My gift is on a higher level. I am on a higher level. I know more. My spirituality is better. And they could not be of the same mind, of the same thought. And they were split. It was like the eye saying to the hand, I don't want you, or the head saying to the foot, I don't want you. Paul points out, and he was worried about such a state of affairs in the church. And in the Bible passage we just read, the phrase to the stature of the fullness of Christ and the expressions, we are no longer children. You see, we do not remain childish. They appear. It refers to young children. It refers to mature adults. Immature, childish people, and mature people. And so what is being referred to as immature and childish? Like the Corinthian church, it's thoughts and ideas that I am better, I am superior. My gifts are more admirable. I am stronger. I know more. I am more fit. I am better equipped spiritually, faithfully, longer experience, deeper and better. Such thoughts are childish. Paul, who recorded half the New Testament, never once said, I am better than you. Or I am in deeper spiritual grounds, I am closer to God. Instead, Paul confessed, when I think of Jesus Christ, when I think of God the Father, I am full of sorrow, of apologies. I am a sinner among sinners, the head of all sinners, an insignificant person who does not deserve to be an apostle. And I can say nothing but thanks. When we look at the Israelites recorded in the Old and New Testaments, we see that they had a false sense of being the chosen people. Connection to the church has been cut, so let me keep reading. We see that they had a false sense of being chosen people. But I think we all had a false sense of being chosen, not to a greater or lesser extent. Not only as Japanese, Korean, Chinese, or American, but as individuals and as Christians, we have this false sense of elitism. God, who created heaven and earth and all things, has given gifts to each of us in proportion to his will for our gifts, but we take pride in our gifts as if they are all and only superior, and we feel excited. Our hearts become arrogant. On the other hand, when we do not feel we have the appropriate gifts, we get angry and disappointed. And we also always seem to have a childishness about us that looks down on others, looks down on the gifts and talents they have, and sees them as inferior to us. But we never notice that this is childishness. And on the contrary, we have this childishness in us that makes us think that this is our superiority, our sharpness. The church has a wide variety of positions, different roles and services. I am on the pastoral staff, but there are other staff, there are elders, deacons, there's those who take care of the meals and cleaning, who organize the worship service. There are staff in each of the four services that we perform for the community. There are leaders and servants of each class in the church school. And all of these are God-given gifts and roles that build up God's church, the body of Christ. And they are an expression of God's abundance, right? All these are just different roles, but sometimes we think, who is struggling more? Who is higher? Who is great? Who is doing more important things in a more important position? I think there's a tendency to think that because what I'm doing is harder and more important, it's only natural that people should pay more attention, concern, and help me with that. And if we don't receive that, we become perverse and angry, condescending and critical again. And before you know it, it ends up with a church where people are the masters, or think they are masters, rather than a church where everyone knows God is Lord. We know that in history this has happened over and over again. And for example, I am the pastor of a church, and I am called a clergyman. And of course, I have an important role to play because I speak, teach, and proclaim the Bible, which is the Word of God. But this does not mean that the pastor is important because the Word of God is important. It may be reasonable that handling such a precious word, the pastor too should be respected. But excessive respect and over-evaluation of the role of pastor would be contrary to biblical teaching and the spirit of Christianity. And also, a layman is sometimes referred to as a layman to a pastor. But this expression is never correct. If there's a lay congregation, is there a high congregation? And is there a low congregation? Is there a presidential congregation or a general manager's congregation? The term lay congregation is itself a hierarchical term. People have an inferiority complex because of sin. And so they want to put ranks, hierarchies, and levels on every occasion. But in the Lord Jesus and before God, everyone is equal. Everyone is the same. Pastors and lay believers are all equally children of God, if they believe in the Lord Jesus. And they're all believers in Jesus Christ together, and they're all the same. Just they have different roles, different gifts that are entrusted or given to them. If only the pastor is honored, if only the elders and officers are honored, if only those who do a lot of service or work are honored, if only those who give a lot of money are honored, then when we consider the Christian spirit that the Bible teaches, this is already an infraction against those teachings. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 9, a frequently quoted Bible passage, we find the following words. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The kingly priests here are the clergy, are they not? But it never says pastors, elders, and officers are kingly priests, but you are kingly priests, and you will announce. In other words, all of us Christians are king priests, ministers and servants of the Lord who proclaim Jesus Christ. All are king priests. Each one of us is a king priest, not because of our rank, position, or level, which are different, but rather because of we are entrusted these gifts and roles by the Lord. As Christians living not only in the church, but also in our society, some are in business, some in the arts, some are teaching children, others have housework, some in qualified work of various kinds in educational institutions, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no difference in rank, position, level, or status. There is only a difference in roles, all of which in the Lord have no difference of status, but they only lead to the building up the body of Christ for all of us, bringing about the kingdom of God in their place. As we are placed in these roles, all we can do is build up the body of Christ. And that is the honor and privilege of all of us, and so we are all equal. When I was in my third year of university, I had done a bit of job hunting, and before I became a Christian, I had this obsession that I wanted to do this and that, and I wanted to have such and such a profession and achieve such and such a status. But after I became a Christian and knew Jesus, I changed my mind and thought differently, that I didn't care what profession I have. I still remember how surprised I was to find myself thinking, wherever I go, wherever I am, I just want to talk about Jesus, live as a Christian, and live out the truth, exuding all that we are all precious and loved by God. I remember how surprised I was to think like that. If a person in business does business with a heart that believes in Jesus and does business like a believer in Jesus, won't God's righteousness and God's kingdom be established in the world through and in his economic activities, in his sphere of business? If those who do music, art, or literature, those who do housework, cooking, and they research it, do it with the mind of Christ, will it not influence culture, civilization, and the families, and realize a beautiful world? If those who teach and study do so with the mind of Christ in mind, with Jesus' teachings in mind? Will it not lead them to care most about loving others and being loved? God has given each of us gifts and talents to play our individual roles. Art is for some, physical education for others, business for others and education for others, cooking for others, care for the elderly and the disabled for others. There are as many gifts as given as there are people. And these gifts are in no way inferior or superior to each other. They're all equal. We need to have no inferiority complex, whatever our gift may be. They are all equal. All gifts and talents are equal. They are all equally, uniformly necessary and wonderful. Even if these ideas are seemingly difficult to grasp, from them we learn patience. We learn tolerance. We learn to wait. We learn to forgive. We learn to love. And that is to say, in the Lord Jesus, in God, every human being's very existence, their mere existence, is a gift. Knowing and recognizing that our very existence is a gift from God, and being able to express this in our way of life, is what it means to reach the stature of the fullness of Christ. Isn't that so? And isn't that exactly the way out of childishness? And yet, how full of childishness this world is. I don't know how much childishness there is in the world, how much conflict, how much competition and hurt. But because of the gifts I have been given, I help others and they help me. And by helping each other, the kingdom of God is established and the body of Christ is built up. The person who can realize that in the Lord everyone is different, but in the Lord everyone is the same, that there is no superiority or inferiority in people, no superiority or inferiority in gifts, that person is no longer a child, but a mature adult. Someone who has reached the stature of the fullness of Christ. The idea and recognition, the way of life, where there is neither high nor low, neither great nor low, neither worthy nor unworthy, neither condescending nor haughty, neither young nor old nor noble in person, not in gifts, not in background, not that I alone am important, not that I alone am right, not that my sense alone is superior, but that in the Lord all men are equal in the Lord and all are worthy to be honored. This is the kind of thinking that reaches the stature that is filled with Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, this is also a very difficult thing to do. Brothers and sisters, think, how difficult is it that even Jesus' disciples, who followed him for 3 years, eating with him, sleeping with him, and let's look at Mark chapter 9. Verses 33 to 35. Mark chapter 9, verses 33 to 35. They came to Capernaum, wherein he was in the house. He asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because they, on the way, they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." And let us look at Luke 22. From verse 24 to 30. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered to be greatest. The Lord Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table, or one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." To those who follow the Lord Jesus is entrusted a kingship, as in Peter's letter earlier. But this kingship is different from the kingship of the world. It is not a kingship of greatness, but a kingship that comes behind and serves. This overturned or upside down kingship, this upside down kingdom, is the kingdom that Jesus is talking about. This upside down kingdom is what Jesus tried to teach us. As they argued about who was greatest, the disciples did not realize how childish this was. They thought that they could argue about greatness because they were superior and they were perceptive, but Jesus taught them to respect others, that arguing about these things was childish. To be mature as an adult in Christ, to reach the stature of the fullness of Christ, means that we want to honor and treat every person in good character. That is, we can lower ourselves below others and see others as better than ourselves, and live in cooperation with each other, respecting and loving one another, being united in a bond of peace, with the idea that all gifts and talents are equal, even though they are different as they are given to us in the Lord. And as the mature adult who seeks to live this, whose aim in life is to outgrow childishness, and to reach the stature of Christ. This is the goal of our lives, is it not? To learn to love, to serve each other. But look at us. We have the same childishness as Jesus' disciples, don't we? And this is why we pray. So let us pray. Let us pray as this: God, let me leave this immature childishness in me like a little child. Let me stop having desires that I am great, that I be better, that I be more able, that I be more important, that I be right. Instead, let me think that all men are one in you, Lord, that there is no Jew, Greek, or Roman, no Japanese, Korean, Chinese, American, Iranian, or Indonesian, no unwise or foolish, no rich, no poor, that all men are equal in you, Lord. Let us come to this idea that we are the same, that we are one. And let us be one in building up your body, this body of Christ in which God is pleased. Will you not pray with me this way? The opening of Ephesians 4 tells us, be one in the Spirit. We have nothing above us, nothing below. We are together. if we have a heart that breaks away from the childishness of being above and below, and together we mature to the stature of fullness of Christ, then we will be united in a bond of peace, and our whole body will be built up in love. And God continues to speak to us, saying, "Let it be done this way." I pray that my gifts will be someone else's help. Someone else's gifts will be my help. The body of Christ will be built up. The kingdom of God will be established. And that the church will become the organism of the Holy Spirit, the organism of love. This is not a problem of just the church. It's a problem of each of us here in the church, in the schools, in our workplaces, anywhere we are. We need to wish for the kingdom of God and his righteousness in our churches, our schools, our workplaces, in our families, and in our every area of our lives. Let us pray. God, in every way, we are foolish. We compete. We conflict. We are hurting each other. And yet, we are given the gift of being in Christ. We are told to be like Christ. It is so high, so respectable that you tell us to respect and love each other. And yet we continue to compete in our righteousness, in our wishes. And help us to get away from these divisions. Help us to abandon our childishness. And in your Spirit, in your Holy Spirit, teach us that value is not in our gifts, but in our love of Christ and of each other. That we find value in all lives. As we give thanks for the words of the Bible, in the name of our saving Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.